Hey, what's going on out there, V's After Dark Radio Land? And you know what time it is when it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday here on V's After Dark Radio. It can only mean one thing. It's time for Ask with V Sports, the quickest hour on sports when it comes to internet radio anywhere in this country and around the world. I'm, of course, the man himself, James Acevedo. And without further ado, because, time goes by fast when we do a show together, you know, me and Miss V, you know, we just eat up time like no tomorrow, like we're some starving people, you know, out there, and that's how we do out there. Is the one and only the CEO of V's After Dark Radio, host of so many shows, and does very much other things. A very smart businesswoman herself, very well educated. It's the one and only Ms. Vita Toy Lady, and she knows her sport, of course. Hello,
how you doing? What's up? I'm all right. I actually got some sports to start off with.
Go ahead. I can imagine. I see with me. Before I let you do it, there is something, but I unfortunately probably can't say it on this show because I remember what you said to me, but it's something I have to either, without saying this person's name, or I definitely do it on my show tomorrow because there's no way I'm not going to comment on what I heard about a certain somebody saying something about another somebody of greatness of the past, and yeah, I have a lot to say, a lot, even more than Stephen A. Smith said the other day. But anyway, go ahead. I digress.
The Indo Olympics, the U.S. ladies 4x4 were Allyson Felix.
Huh?
When they ran their race today, Allyson Felix dropped the baton. Well, with every sport, which knocked them out. The U.S. appealed her dropping the baton. When they looked at the film, the Brazilian bumped into Felix, which made her lose the baton. So tonight, the U.S. is going to run the 4x4 with no competition, strictly for time. And
okay.
I'm happy because, see, if anybody knows about track and field and about the USA team, them some bad chicks. So, actually, Brazil, I don't know where they finished in that race, but they not going to be happy because them girls, and they ain't got no competition, they're going to be kicking some butt.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. They're going to be kicking butt, you know, but I'm glad that they're letting them rerun it, you know. It won't be a true of a race as it would be if they were run against people. But fair is fair, you know, especially when the reason for what happened was somebody knocking the baton. You know, you dropping it is one thing. But when someone bumps you to drop it, that's almost, you know, regardless of how they did it. And they showed her, the Brazilian's arms were flaring, okay? And Allyson Felix was actually ahead of the Brazilian's, trying to hand off, and the Brazilian runner, you know how you have to get a nice pace going before you hand off, actually was running before Allyson Felix could get to the U.S. runner and bumped into her. And be it intentional or not, right is right. And first of all, I know y'all say, Miss V, what haven't you done? Because you know how people say, I used to do that, but I attempted. Let's get this clear. If I'm not good at something, I'll let y'all know when I'm not good at something. I did attempt to run track. I'm talking about the one like these girls running. Guess what?
Yeah. By the way,
It ain't my forte.
By the way,
you know, fat people.
I'm sorry, but boy, these women are very lovely. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just had to check them out. I think,
you know,
because let's be real. These women, doesn't matter what year,
they are very
shape.
Feminine. These are not.
Oh,
rich.
Yes, they are.
There's no about these chicks. Okay,
no.
You would not look at them.
No.
Saturday Night Live, get the Drew Carey. Not Drew Carey, but
who? Yeah.
You know how I'm talking about the. But he used to do the ugly chick, the ugly Russian chick who was like the, you know, athlete.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
I mean,
no, in Living Color. That's why I got it wrong.
Oh,
in
Living
Color,
yeah,
not.
Yeah, Jim Carrey, yes.
He did.
Yeah. Classic. Now,
I'm sorry, I messed up the shows. It was in Living Color.
Yeah, we understand. That, now, my only thing is that they can lose a little bit of the ass, but I understand why they're in terrific shape. But other than that, they are very, very feminine and very beautiful. I'm saying, you know, and if my lady was here, I would say the same thing, and I would take the risk of being punched in the face.
But these women, you know,
yeah,
but the whole thing
all
with the female, you know, when you think of a female athlete, especially attractive female, you think, wow, she's got to be, you know, these big legs and, you know, everything.
No.
And these women, I mean, they're,
no,
I
they're
mean,
beautiful.
And you know, so I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but most of them
like
are
said,
usually beautiful, though. Most of them usually are beautiful. That's why.
Remember FloJo?
Yeah,
remember FloJo?
Thank you.
No,
for those
y'all don't know what we're talking about, FloJo was, and the reason why we say was because she passed away of asthma.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know,
a while ago. Yeah, in the 90s.
But
yeah.
FloJo was known for her nails. This woman had the longest,
yep,
prettiest nails, mm-hmm, in the world. This was before people were wearing acrylic and stuff. And these, from what I understand, were her real nails, but they were not even acrylic. I still can't believe that, not the way she ran. But her and her sister-in-law, because it was FloJo and Jackie. It was FloJo and Jackie Joyner Kersee. So, and the whole thing is that these two women were very good athletes. And FloJo, oh my gosh, she was, talking about beautiful, I said she was beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other words for her, I mean, but. Yeah, these women, you know, are beautiful. But I'm glad that they're able to rerun it. But
that's cool.
The Brazilian, I know that Brazil is the host country, and I know they want to kick some butt. Who wouldn't? You know, nobody wants to be embarrassed at home. Let's
no.
keep it real. Football, baseball, you know,
they're
nothing.
Not a sport.
But
mm-hmm,
you know, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm,
when something like that happens,
mm-hmm,
we all know how U.S. track and field is. And if you don't know how it is, you need to go look it up. U.S. track and field is a very, you know, that's the one sport where, depending on the race, this is going to sound weird because I'm trying not to cuss. Depending
mm-hmm
on the race, depends on the race of the person who will win. Think about it. See, I knew you two was going to say, wow. But man, track and field is the only sport that both races run, but depending on the race of the particular meet will depend on who
mm-hmm
wins. Like, for
mm-hmm
the marathon running,
mm-hmm,
young people do marathons better, even though, for whatever reason, Kenyans keep winning that. But I'm talking about
mm-hmm
in the U.S. In the U.S., white people run marathons better. That's because, you know, if it ain't for some food or something, most of us here ain't running. Just keep it real. You know, we'll run for some free food. We'll run if they told our people that there was liquor at the finish line and it was free.
Mm.
You know, they might run a little faster. But when it comes down to now the fast sports, you know, the sprints, what we call them, like the 4x4, which is, you know, basically four women do a 100-meter sprint, you know, we're good in that. We're
mm-hmm
good in the 200,
yeah,
the 100. We're good in the relays.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the 1,500 meters, and like them 10Ks and stuff, white folks got us beat. You know, let's keep it real. Let's not sit here and try to claim.
Yeah, we're
everything.
Fair. That's right. We're fair.
Let's
keep it real.
You know,
that's
let's give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely
know, we don't try to claim everything, but track and field is the only sport that, depending on the race of the individual, and which race is being ran will depend on what color the winner is. And as weird as it may sound, and I'm talking about in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like I said, don't put me on no sprint. Now, when you're talking about distance running, the Africans got it. You know, I don't care what country you're from.
Yo. Yeah,
you know,
an African.
I don't care what country.
Forget about it. Marathons, forget it. They whip our ass. Oh, my God. That's not even
you know,
crazy.
And
you
like
know.
I said, I've been watching, it's this chick in the Olympics, and it's a family. It's not even one person. And they've been kicking butt, like, in these different long races.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
for anybody who hears me mess up their name, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. But I think I've got it, and it's the Dubaba family.
Okay.
And they're like sisters and cousins, and
wow.
I mean, the men and the women both are runners, are in the Olympics, and they are like, now they're kicking some butt, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kenya and another country, and they're related.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they talk about how they're related. But
mm-hmm.
even they have been plagued with scandal because one of the mm-hmm. female runners in that family, her coach
mm-hmm.
got suspended. For
oh, wow.
Doping,
okay.
for doping. So he
oh.
has literally trained her via. Now get this, he has. Now you talking about. Now this is when you know you are a bad individual. He's been training. He's been coaching her via Skype because he's
wow.
in like London or something, and he can't be in the country that she's in right now.
Wow. Okay.
And you
yeah.
know you gotta be a bad something to be able to be coached
mm-hmm.
via Skype. I mean,
you're a bad dude. Yeah.
You got to be,
wow.
you know.
Wow.
I don't know who he is, but all I can say is that anybody that can coach somebody via Skype, hey, I don't know what
mm-hmm.
you did. I hope that, you know, you get yourself in order because you're a bad individual because she won her race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I watched her and I was like, and they were talking about it as she was running. And they put it like this. The commentators even knew what he had told her, you know, how to do it. And they was like, yeah, he told her to do this, and if she does this. And she did exactly everything. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I was rooting for her just because, you know. It was like, I know I'm U.S., but I'm rooting for her because
yeah.
it was just amazing watching her. You know,
wow.
especially hearing while they're doing the commentary. But, yeah, I had to give that Olympic news because it just actually before we came on the air,
okay.
it was on my TV station talking about the 4x4, and they actually showed it. And, yeah, oh, girl, wait a minute. I know how track runners run. I'm not a graceful individual, but I know how they should look, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way that Brazilian was clearing her arms, nah, it was more so, do I want to say it was intentional? It looked a little suspicious because she took off too quick. Okay, like
Ooh.
I said, for anybody who knows about track and field, she took off too quick, which interfered with Allison Felix. That's the best way to put it.
Okay, okay. Do they, is there a replay on this or is only go by
yeah,
the
you can see
the You don't buy
no,
the
they showed the replay. That's how.
It? Do they use
that's
replay?
That's how they decided
say,
that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they
okay.
decided that the Americans will rerun their race without
okay.
any competition.
Yeah,
because
I was just asking.
Because what?
Okay.
The U.S. appealed, and they won their appeal.
Yeah.
So they would
wow,
run
shocked.
To qualify.
That's surprising.
And that's why I said the Brazilian young lady who did the flaring of the
yeah.
arm.
Mm.
You know, her team was already behind the U.S., you know, so
mm-hmm.
it almost, sometimes you could assume that it was done to try to gain an advantage,
mm-hmm.
and it backfired.
Mm.
I can't say for sure, you know, but it could be interpreted that way, you know, just from looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
So I see some more controversy, you know, coming on out of that. And then I want to talk about, you know, we always got to have some controversy in some of the stuff we do. I want to talk about Ryan Lochte, the U.S. swimmer. you know,
about this questionable situation that happened, according to the swimmer.
Now,
go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this.
Now I'm gonna. I want people to think when I say this, and that he has everything in the world, but he still hasn't beat Michael Phelps enough. Now, think about when Michael Phelps lost at the Olympics before this last Olympics, and for that year or so, remember he was getting DUIs and everything, and he was getting in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to, something hit him. You know, I think it was him going on probation in jail. You know, they said, yo, you got to become a grown-up. I think, and this is just looking, you know, I don't know any of these guys, but I can tell you, I think that the mental devastation of still not getting exactly what he wanted made him make a bad judgment call, and he just did it in the wrong country. I think he's on a temporary self-destruction mode, unintentionally. And it's not just him. A lot of athletes, you'll see, when something doesn't go quite right, they will start self-destructing because they can't, even though verbally they have accepted what has happened, their psyche hasn't. And I see a little bit of self-destruction here starting. And like I said, I don't wish anything bad on him, but just looking at it, you know, he still really hasn't accomplished what he wanted. And to know that his chief rival has officially retired, it's like mentally, you know, who's going to inspire me to do more? Because, you know, Michael Phelps was back with his fiance and his son. He like, fuck y'all. Y'all go do what y'all got to do. It's time for me to be back with my family. So 4 years ago, he would have been out there partying with them. So it's just a matter of looking at this young man, and I know everybody's going to say, why am I making excuses? I'm not making excuses. I'm going by what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And this is the start of being of self-destructive behavior. You know, people think of self-destructive behavior different ways, but this is self-destructive because there was no reason for him to lie in Rio. You know, there's no reason for this, which tells me that there's something underlying to cause this. And I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know self-destruction when I see it. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, for what I heard about it, I mean, I could see why people are not really believing his side of the story. Don't know. We only know what we've heard recently about what's going on. But you know, he claimed that what was it that he was with his fellow teammates or something? Was
that right?
They got robbed by people, but they were dressed as police. And with guns. He got a gun to his head or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
his story doesn't add up, and one person has already corroborated that what he said was a lie, which, okay, let's keep it real. Here in the U.S., we love. Let's keep it real. I don't care what state you live in, what city you live in. Don't tell me you ain't never lied to the police. And people and women, yes, women, I'm going to call you out, especially you scorned women.
Mm-hmm.
Scorned female will file a false police report in a heartbeat against a man.
Yep.
And it's just the ramifications in this country are not like they are in other countries. And don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning filing false police reports. I'm just saying that because it's not so nonchalant in this country, people don't realize the resources and everything that go into it. So now they're looking at charging him, which, what they say, is 90 days in jail or 2 months in jail or something. I mean, it's jail time with this for filing a false police report.
Yeah, and wasn't his passport revoked or something?
Well, No, they were ordered to take his passport from him and not allow him to leave the country.
To tell you how smart
self-destructive Lockheed is, now his teammates kept their butts in Rio. When they decided to do this, he was back in the U.S. So, you know, he's getting up and living large, even though the FBI is cooperating with Brazil, and they're going to go talk to him. You know, and we do have extradition. We do have extradition with them. But the whole thing is that he's back home where his teammates have to stay in Rio until this is cleared up. They can't leave the country. You know, so he's back here in the U.S. You know, he's probably having a beer right now, which, again, another form, and I'm making assumptions when I say he's probably having a beer. I don't know if he drinks or not. This is what I'm saying about self-destruction, you know. And like I said, Michael Phelps did similar to this after his loss. And I want people, like I said, I'm not making excuses. I just want you to see the psyche of what I'm saying. Because Michael Phelps went through this. And it took him getting that DUI and being basically slapped on his head that, you know, you ain't above the law. For him to get it through that, hey, I can't be doing this. You know, and I'm glad he came back. I'm glad he did what he did, you know, as far as his gold medal, his medals and everything. And I'm glad he's changed his life and he has a beautiful son. But Ryan Lochte, like I said, I think it's in the psyche. And for anybody who's ever been an athlete, when you have your chief rival with you, I don't know how to describe it. Because I know that I used to have a person that I would run against, you know, and I would watch what they did, you know. Even if it never mattered, that was who my focus was. And if they weren't out there to kind of push me, it was like I was lost. I started running cross country for that reason because when you're running cross country, you're pretty much by yourself. Marathon runners run by themselves. You know, you have people out there, but you're running against yourself. You're running against that clock, but you're running against yourself also. So if you know that, but when you have, you know, as in lap swimming, you've got people right next to you. You know, what motivates you is that person next to you or two lanes down or four lanes down or swimming in the next heat after you, because that's who you're being compared to. Remember, it's always been Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is out of the game. You know, we're talking two gentlemen who are very close in age, maybe a year apart, and one who has said, this is it, I'm going to a new chapter of my life, and the other one who says, I'm going on. Well, guess what? This was not, you can't go on with this. If you don't get a pass real quick, because, see, this is grounds for the Olympics to ban him. This isn't just self-destruction at home. This is grounds to get banned from the Olympics. And anybody who's been watching the Olympics, the black track runner, his last name is Gatlin, got banned for one Olympics. So you've got to realize that this is something that, you know, is a whole lot. And, I mean, I hope that, you know, what I'm going to hope is that he fess up. Come like this. What I hope the truth comes out regardless of what the truth is. If he lied, come on and say you lied. But, see, the problem is that his credibility is shot now. His credibility is shot because he did a interview with what's his name? The guy from, his last name was Bush, but he's working with the Today Show all this week. And they had to do a cell phone interview because they caught him on the beach. They had heard the rumor about it all, and they knew they couldn't get a camera crew there, and they did everything via cell phone when they interviewed him and talked about it. So this has been seen all around the world. You know, how do you get your credibility back? And this is the one thing. A lot, sometimes I don't know if you guys have ever heard me talk about I hate when my integrity is questioned. I can handle a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
but do not question my integrity, because once your integrity is gone, that is one of the hardest things to earn back, because once it's in question, it will always be in question. And right now, his integrity is shot. You know, no one's going to trust him. He's got to earn the trust of not just the United States. He's got to earn the trust of the world, and that's going to be a hard thing to do. I do believe he's lying. I'm going to say this myself. I do believe he's lying just from the things I've heard and the videos that I've seen. And the fact that, you know, he was drunk. You know, I'm going to say something. And for all you macho dudes, because I'm going to call y'all, the question came in when he did the interview. He said this fake police officer held a gun to his head, but at first they pulled the gun on him. He's like, I ain't on no ground. Why? You can't do this. And then all of a sudden the gun gets put his head. Okay, dude, I gone. Now, I'm sorry. Even white people know not to talk. Come on now. if we have not learned anything, white people even know when the police put their gun out, don't get brave.
Mm-hmm.
So why all of a sudden you brave with somebody with a gun? You ain't from New York.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't from
Detroit.
Philly. You ain't from the D. You know, you are a suburbanite, baby. You couldn't, you know, and I'm calling it because this, I'm big and I'm bad, and I said this, that's where you knew he was lying. Because I'm sorry. I know a lot of white people also, and I know your good share.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just tell you, white people from New York don't even talk back to the police.
Nope.
White people from Jersey don't even talk back to the police. Not when they got a gun at you. Not so much as when people pull a gun on you. I have yet to meet a person, black, white, purple, yellow, green, yellow, who's going to sit there and mouth off with somebody with a gun pointed at you. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You have these sorts of derivative when people are being held up, but that's in the case of like convenience stores and stuff where you're like, I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to grab this gun because I ain't going out. That's different. You know, that is way different.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about somebody pulling a gun on you and they talking about they're the police and you in another country, baby. You ain't ignorant. This ain't your first time leaving the U.S. That's what got me. You and I both have lived in other countries, and when was the last time you mouthed off at the police in another country? I know I never did.
Mm-hmm, neither.
You know, Raya Lati, who is something extraordinary, special, can mouth off at the police, and then when a girl gets put to your head, say, okay, dude, take it. Baby, you know you lying. You know you lying. You know, It's you know, it happens sometimes. But you ain't gotta try to feel like somebody was trying to punk you out or anything, you know. But to blatantly lie about this is just outright wrong. Like I said, I know white folks. I ain't met one that really talked back to the police a whole lot, you know. I will admit I do get a little mouthy.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I wanna get mouthy when I know I'm in the right. And on top of that, normally the pistol is in, okay, I'm going to keep it real. And normally when I mouth off, the pistol is in the holster. All right? I'm a smart one. Out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I mouth off, the pistol is in the holster. But I ain't got nothing like him, but you know, maybe he's that extraordinary one. Maybe.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe he got some extraordinary powers that maybe we don't understand. Maybe. I mean, could be.
Maybe.
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 Maybe. Usain Bolt. I got to talk about him. And I got to talk about him. You know you are a bad brother when not only do you run across the finish line, but you turn around and smile.
Take a picture.
While you running across. That is like the picture. I mean, it's like, yo, let me get this camera shot. I'm going out. I'm still running. Yay! You know. But you got to know, the man is an entertainer. But he has earned the right to be called the fastest man on earth, okay? I ain't mad at him. I just think it is so cool the way he does this. I mean, who sits back and talks mess in a sprint? Who has a race? And as you're beating your opponent, you start talking smack to them. Who has that amount? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Even when I'm doing a light jog, I ain't got time to be taunting you. I'll be like, listen, let me just listen to the music. You in a full-out sprint? Sprint. And then you want to talk smack to your opponent as you're beating them. Come on, yo. Yeah, I'm so good. I see you at the finish line. You know, come on.
Amazing.
And people, I'm seeing this because it's just, like, awesome. You know, this is the part of the Olympics that I like. You know, I like the track and field because you're always entertained. And on top of that, we got to give it out to the shot putter, the female shot putter. Her last name is Carter. Her dad played in the NFL and was in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Big, nice-sized black girl. She took the gold.
Okay. In track.
But if you look it up, her dad, she did the shot put.
Oh, shot put. I'm sorry.
Female shot putter. Female shot putter.
Okay.
And her last name is Carter. Her dad is a former NFL player. And I know his name when I hear it. But that's his daughter. And he always talks about his Super Bowl ring and how he had a medal from the Olympics. And now she could say, I got something you don't have, because she does. She has a gold. I think he got a bronze when he was in the Olympics. Guess what? And in the same sport, shot put. So, you know, she said that's her bragging rights, you know, to kind of, you know, get under her dad's skin, you know, I got a gold, you know, but big shout out to her, you know, congratulations. I got to give a shout out to all of these firsts that's been going on in the Olympics. You know, we've had so many firsts for U.S. women doing things. U.S. women, I don't care what your race is, y'all go girls, y'all, you know, y'all making us just actually want to work a little harder to lose this weight. I mean, the first female ever to wear a hijab in the Olympics, and she took bronze in fencing from the U.S. First U.S. medal in fencing for women. You know, would we have liked to have been a gold? Yes, but the fact that it's a bronze and she was the first, and she said that she wanted to run a sport that she could still pay respect to her religion, and fencing was the only sport that allowed that.
Yeah.
Because of the hijab. So, therefore, you know, with her being able to do her job, she, and I know I just jacked that up, but she won, you know, we just had a Caucasian female, white female, win first gold medal in her sport. I want to say wrestling. She beat out Japan.
Okay.
She got the gold. I mean, the U.S. women, who are, like, doing these firsts that have never happened, all I can say, you go, girls. Y'all go. Because you guys are inspiring others to do things they never thought they could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first for a lot of firsts have happened. And I wanted to put that out there because a lot of times, you know, we don't talk about how the female athletes do so much because predominantly in the world, this is all men's sports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the females are kicking some serious booty in Reno.
They're representing,
you know, with these first.
It seems like they've taken over the U.S. Olympic news more than the men, besides Michael Phelps, of course, and besides the guy that got in trouble. Because it seems like everything else has been mostly the women, which is awesome.
The woman did this, the woman did that. You know, I don't care if it's been in the pool, it's been gymnastics, and, you know,
the
swimming, you know.
Diving.
The beach volley, you know, that they're doing it. You know, you've got to give them credit. Judo. You know, wrestling, you know, I can't wait to see our weightlifters. And we got Carissa Shields from Flint, Michigan. You know, she's defending her gold medal from the last Olympics. Remember, she was the only medal that the U.S. got in boxing at the last Olympics.
Oh, wow.
The only U.S. medal in boxing at the last Olympics. And she was 17 at the last Olympics, and she is a beautiful young lady right now. And
so she's 21 then, right?
She's going to,
like 21?
Yes, she's going to defend. Yes, she's going to defend her title now. So, you know, these are the things that are going on that, you know, and I'm not everybody going to say, well, we got to talk about sports. I am talking about sports. I'm talking about real, you know, there's so much out there, you know. Like I said, let me tell you what I did.
Right.
You ready to talk about me and laugh?
As always.
We all know that. Okay, we all know I'm a marathon runner. You know I run marathons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's never been a secret. And we also know that. A few years ago, I got into a car accident, so I quit running. And for anybody who knows me knows I said for my 50th birthday that I'm going to be running my first full marathon. I've ran three half marathons. I've ran plenty of 10Ks and 5Ks. I can do that. That's not really an issue for me. I've never ran a full marathon. Well, for me, I need more than, you know, some folks say, oh, I need this time. I need a couple of years to train, okay? I got to get prepared for this. So, I've been back walking. I mean, I can speed walk easily. I can walk 4.5 miles an hour, which is good for a walker. You know, I could probably do 5 miles an hour. I'm building it up. So, this week I decided, let me test out. Your girls decided to do something kind of stupid. Let's get brave. Let's decide we want to ease into the run. We're just going to start running and see if we can run for 2 or 3 minutes. I can do the run, but I've been feeling it. Lord have mercy, my. See, now I know why. For those of y'all who ever seen people on them phone, the phone that they be rolling around, the phone rollers. Those foam rollers, when you see people rolling on them at the gym, and you be like, oh, what they doing? What they're doing is they're rubbing out their muscles.
Okay.
And what it does is it presses it. It hurts. Oh, it hurts like the devil when you do it. But what it does is it pushes the lactic acid out of your muscles so that they'll go on and heal, you know, go back in place easier. Well, when you don't do that, you know, when you guys are walking around and you say, oh, my muscles are hurting and they're tight, that's because the lactic acid builds up from the running because you build this up, you know. So it's got to work out. And my super butt hasn't pushed any gas out of my muscles, so I'm really feeling it. I've ran 2 days in a row right now. I ain't getting no full-out runs. I've ran two days in a row right now. I have not done full runs. I've done like 3 minutes running at 4.5 miles, which is a nice little pace. And I'll do it for 3 minutes, and then I'll walk for another 7 or 8. And then for today, what I did was I did my last 2 minutes at 5 miles an hour, which, just so everybody know, that's a 12-minute mile. I can do it when I run marathons. I'm running a 12-minute mile. That is where I clock at. I think one of my marathons, when I did the international marathon, there's the Canadian, the U.S. Canadian tunnel, which is in Detroit, is a mile long, and we have the international race. And I tell people, I've been meaning to get my T-shirt made that says I literally ran to Canada and back, because this is the only place we don't have it. You know how on the Mexican border people can walk over to Mexico. We don't have that here in the U.S. We can't walk over on the northern border. It's only down south. So they stopped all the traffic in the tunnel and over the bridge. So we run over the bridge and we come back through the tunnel. And when they did my time, because you have markers on you. For anybody who's ever ran a race, they have chips on your bib. And there's different markers that read that chip. And they said I did that mile in 11:30. And I was like, oh, because I thought I was going slow because I kept stopping because people would take. Now, get this. This is how, you know, when people are out there doing different things. Only people on the race route can be running. So inside of the Canadian tunnel, people are taking selfies. They're stopping like, hey, we got to take a selfie. We're inside the tunnel. Because inside the tunnel, you have the U.S. flag and the Canadian flag where the two, you know, where the water divides. So you got people taking selfies, literally stopping. So if you're going at a good pace, and for anybody who's ever seen a marathon, you know that when you start running and you got your pace going, any interruption just messes you up. And literally people were stopping like, yo, we got to stop. They're pulling out their phones. They were taking selfies. I was like, oh, my God. I was getting so mad. But my chip reading said I had ran that mile in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. That's good.
Yeah.
But the problem with that, if that was where I was running, where people were stopping and me trying to walk and start back running, I was probably doing a 10-minute mile. So I know I can do it. You know, right now that number, you know how they say age ain't nothing but a number? I've got to mentally prepare that age is nothing but a number. Because, like I said, I've ran a total, I haven't been running 30 straight minutes. I figure I'll start slowly since I got a couple of years to build up. You know, and I may walk the 26 miles. I'm going to keep this real. If I can get my pace up to 5 miles an hour, walking, and for anybody who doesn't know about walking, you can also speed walk 26 miles. You have 5 hours to complete it. So that is quite possible. You know, you have to really, really train, but it's possible. And I think because I want to be able to run it, I probably want to be able to run about 10 or 15 miles of it, but I want to be able to walk and then still have a good pace going. So that is my goal. But, yeah, my crazy butt been out there running on the treadmill, and I ain't been pushing the gas on my muscles.
No.
No. So.
Same.
Just wanted to let people know that, you know, that's what I'm doing. So shout out to the ladies. I got to talk about my Detroit Lions.
Okay.
My Detroit Lions. I think they play again tonight or tomorrow. Again. I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah, please.
All I'm doing.
Please.
I may or may not watch tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I mean, please.
I'm going to be honest, I may or may not. They did win last week while I was watching them, right? I can't remember. But either way,
well,
you remember,
we talked about this. We were like, well, this is what the Lions do best. They're beasts in the preseason.
They are.
It's the regular season where they have their trouble. When it counts. Go ahead.
So definitely, you know, they're doing their thing. My Tigers don't know what they want to do. You know, they don't know if they want to just lie down. Yeah, they finally won. And they got somebody from another team. I forget who they got, but. Yeah, they acquired somebody from some other team yesterday.
Oh, let me look this up. So they claimed somebody off waivers, obviously. Okay.
They got somebody. You know, I didn't want to lie to you. They got somebody.
You couldn't make me happy and have your team beat the Red Sox for me? I mean, you know, come on. You know how much I hate Red Sox? The team couldn't help me?
You gotta go talk to them folks because
What's
I think
on?
I need to find out where all the girlfriends are, you know. I'm big on, I got to find out where the girlfriends are. I got to find out where they are. Because somebody's doing something they're not supposed to, contrary to what the rules are. You know, we know the rules, and somebody's doing something contrary to the rules. So I'm having a little issues here. And I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, I see something here. Tigers call up outfielder Alex Presley from Toledo, so from their farm system, and they designated Bobby Parnell for assignment. Let's see. They purchased some guy Presley. They purchased.
That's
Presley.
Who?
Okay.
From some other team.
Yeah, they signed. Some of these guys don't even know who they are. Like, who's this guy? Wait, hold on. Okay, Detroit Tigers purchased. This guy was right fielder for the Milwaukee Brewers, right fielder Alex Presley. That's who they purchased his contract. And they reportedly signed another guy named, and forgive me, I'm pronouncing his last name wrong, Sirico. I think C-I-R-I-A-C-O. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I agree with Z. I don't think they, you know, they're not really going anywhere.
I got this. I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry. And it's gonna sound like I'm like some crazy person, but right now I'm more into the Olympics. At least it's something that I can understand. And you know,
absolutely. By the way.
And guess what? No one's really letting me down because I don't. You know, unlike a hometown team, your hometown team could just really
absolutely
tee you off. But with the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're rooting from, you know, even though we all want to root for the U.S., you know, here in this country. In your case, you're rooting for Puerto Rico. But, and that's why I didn't, now that is something that I did not
How
understand.
About that?
These are two things I didn't understand.
Because I think you're on the same page here.
I'm not mad about it, but I didn't understand it. Now, last time I checked, countries were supposed to be competing in the Olympics.
I know.
But yet and still, the U.S. Virgin Islands, the British Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico all compete in the Olympics under their own flag. The problem is Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, nor the British Virgin Islands are individual countries.
No.
The U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico are territories of the U.S.
Yes.
They are U.S. citizens.
Correct.
And the British Virgin Islands is part of England.
Correct.
They're not their own country.
Correct.
But yet and still, they compete under their own flag at the Olympics.
I don't care, but
I would just like somebody to explain to me because I thought, and I think Guam also competes under their flag.
And here's another thing, which, you know, credit where credit is due. This is not this woman's fault, but congratulations to Monica Puig, who is the first Puerto Rican, not just a female, but a Puerto Rican in general, to win a gold medal. And I was like, first of all, like Ms. V said, I was amazed. Well, wait a minute. They're not their own country. They're a territory of the United States. So I found that fascinating. And two, which could be number one, actually, who knew they had their own national anthem? When they raised the flag, you know, and this is no disrespect. Anybody that's doing these athletes that's in the Olympics, I know emotional how it could be because a lot of sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just questioning when I saw this woman who deserves a gold medal. I'm not saying for tennis. I'm just saying when they raised the flags, you know, first place, second place, third, you know, gold, silver, and bronze, and the one who's
the gold.
Yes. So when I saw that, I was like, I've never in my life. And to be honest, I didn't put the volume up. I should have. I saw it online. Is it a it's going to sound like I'm closed-minded, but was it a salsa song?
That's what I was going to ask. You know,
a lot of bongos.
Was there some hip shaking? We're not trying to be facetious.
It's interesting.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
When we went to school, we had to learn all of this. So
mm-hmm.
these are questions that we have because the Olympics is countries, not territories. You know, because Puerto Rico falls under the United States flag, even though they're
not a
state.
Exactly.
The U.S. Virgin Islands falls under the U.S. flag, even though they're not a state.
Exactly.
Guam falls under the U.S. flag, even though they're not a state. I know young guys probably didn't know about Guam. I know about Guam. Yeah. So, and then we've got some other territories out there that they don't mention, but
yeah.
you know, the U.S.
Yeah,
is really, we're some really, you know what? I'm surprised we ain't claimed Panama yet. Why haven't we claimed Panama?
What the hell? They claim everything else.
So, don't they speak but don't they speak English in Panama?
Well,
we
yeah,
were down there for long.
I
think that, and don't they take, isn't their currency the U.S. dollar in Panama?
I cannot make that comment about knowing the facts.
I'm gonna look it up because I'm almost positive that the currency in Panama is the U.S. dollar. I'm serious.
No, I mean it's a good question. I just don't know the answer to it. I'm just being real. I never answer a question
about
I don't
it.
Know.
We built the Panama Canal. Okay, that's why we got rid of pineapple face.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, it was too. Save way more time for going all the way around the continent of South America to go get to the other side. Yep. I know a little bit of history. It's just interesting. I want to know the rules, like getting to the last point before this one. How is for
yes,
this
I was right. No,
really?
This no.
U.S. currency?
Okay, I'm going to read this because I thought it was the U.S. dollar. What it is that they use U.S. dollars like their own. The legal currency in Panama is the Balboa, which is equivalent to the U.S. dollar in practice. Panama has its own coins, which are very similar, which are very similar to U.S. coins.
Okay,
this is kind of fun. That's why I thought it was the U.S. dollar,
mm-hmm.
because of what I just read. You know, I knew that it was
mm-hmm.
something going on because.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. You don't have to convert your money.
Mm-hmm.
Reading this. That official currency of Panama is the Balboa, named after Spanish explorer Vasco Nunez de Balboa, who discovered the Pacific Ocean in 1513. Once Balboa, one Balboa is divided into 100 cents. Since 1904, one Balboa. Since 1904, one Balboa equals one
yeah.
U.S. dollar in cents then. The U.S. dollar
okay.
has legally circulated. Get this. Since then, the U.S. dollar has legally circulated in Panama. In other words, in practice, the currency used day-to-day in Panama is the U.S. dollar, which is also legal tender. For this reason, Panama is considered a dollarized country and was the second economy in the continent to become a dollarized economy. Currency there are Panamanian coins that have the same weight, dimension, and composition of U.S. coins used in the USA, 1, 5, 10, 25, and 50 cents. Panama also has its own dollar coin. For paper money, only the U.S. dollar is used. There are no paper Balboas. That's why I thought the U.S. dollar was the currency there. That explains it.
Okay.
Because they've always used the U.S. dollar. Their money is equal to the U.S. dollar. Dollar for dollar, cent for cent. Everything is equal. Therefore, and then there's a question on here, will I have to exchange currencies when I go to Panama? On this it says, depending where you're visiting, if you're visiting from the U.S., you won't need to exchange any currency. This is because the U.S. dollar is used in Panama. It's legal tender. On the other hand, if you're visiting from elsewhere in the U.S., such as Eurozone, then yes, you'll have to exchange currencies. Regardless from where you're from, you'll be able to extract 500 U.S. per day from the ATM. Wow, $500 a day from the ATM machines. That ain't okay. Let's make this clear. A country that takes the U.S. dollar is a dangerous country, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how many of y'all go to Canada, but Panama, since it's even, there's no currency exchange in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You want the dollar to have a higher value over the Canadian dollar, but.
Mm-hmm.
Canada takes U.S. dollars as well as Canadian dollars because of what we
yep.
sit at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have no problem. But get this, the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
won't take Canadian. The majority
nope.
of U.S. stores will not take Canadian dollars, only a handful. And the reason being is because of the exchange rate. And you have to go by the day-to-day exchange rate. Some places go by the week, but we'll get into that later. But, yeah, so I
mm-hmm.
was right in a sense. I know somebody
mm-hmm.
say I was wrong. Technically, I was not wrong. because they have used the U.S. dollar since 1904, even though they have their own currency. So if you and your girl go to Panama, all you got to do is keep your money in your pocket. And their ATM machine gives out U.S. dollars. Come on now.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
No other place in the world give out U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, like I said, we might as well own them, too. I mean, if they take, if their currency pretty much is ours, don't that mean we own them?
Yeah, for my definition, yeah. But for my philosophy, anyway.
I'm going to be a smart aleck. You know, since Panama is its own country and not a territory, let me see if Guam has its own currency. Because I'm just curious, since these territories have their own flags. But you know what? The more I think about it, because they are a territory, even though they're not a country, they can't really fly the U.S. flag because they're not part of that 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, especially with Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
I would be pushing to become a state. You know why? Because you know Puerto Rico just went bankrupt. Didn't it just go bankrupt?
Yeah, from what I've heard. Yeah.
So if they was a state, they wouldn't have gone bankrupt. You know why?
Because
you would have had people like Donald Trump building stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put that out there.
Yeah, right.
So, I'm in one of those moods.
As always. By the way, let's see, what is the count I hear? I see. They basically have, they're basically almost have identical, like, a number of gold, you know, a number of medals combined as far as gold, medal, and bronze. I mean, gold, silver, and bronze. Like, you know, it's like by one off by each category. Like they have 31 gold and 30 silver, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, here it was. That's not it. Damn, man. I'm trying to find it. I just had it on here. They're basically, you know, kicking ass. You know? Here. Oh, yeah. 32 gold, 32 silver, 31 bronze. That equals to a total of 95 medals. Which is, they're in first place by 40. Great Britain second with 55 combined medals. 21 gold, 21 silver, 13 bronze. So, there you go. And that's with the NBA USA team not playing as a unit, and they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Boy. I mean, when I see these comments from, like, for one particular person, DeAndre Jordan, talking about, well, a gold medal is more important than the NBA title. If I'm a fan of the Clippers, do I really need to hear that? I'm just saying. I understand what he's trying to say, but let's make this clear. You are an NBA player. You are not an Olympic athlete. It's a difference. If you're an Olympic athlete and you say, oh, well, the gold medal is very important to me, that's different. But when you're an NBA player and you happen to be part of these Olympics, because we all know why, it generates money and popularity for the NBA, and then we all know that we need this certain team in order to win gold medals in the basketball category, because let's be honest, if we had our college players there, it probably would be a little more difficult. I'm not saying they would, but it would be a little more difficult. Let's put it like that. So when I see a professional basketball player say, quote, well, you know, I prefer, you know, the gold medal more important than NBA title. I'm just saying, and especially when you get paid millions of dollars, I'm just saying it just don't look good. It just don't look good.
You know
just
what?
Like,
but, okay, I'm gonna kind of counter you on that. And the reason why I'm gonna say this is, but I wouldn't give up the money. But I can see the importance of that Olympic gold. It's something that, you know, and I'm going to go by listening to the golfers because, you know, them some millionaires also. They ain't no broke ones. And a lot of golfers, remember, this is the first time since 1904 that golf has been in the Olympics. And
okay.
The golfers who actually participated in the Olympics, actually, a lot of golfers did not go because there were still tournaments going on in their respective countries, and they was like, no, that's just Olympic gold. We ain't going for that bump, y'all, you know, blah, 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 blah. Understandable. I'm not mad at them. But those who participated said that now they said they're going to let their players go because they said that feeling that you get by knowing that you are truly the best in the world is a feeling that you cannot put a monetary value on. So listening to the golfers, and like I said, I'm listening to the golfers because these are the first athletes. This is the first time since 1904, which means none of them were alive the last time they were played.
112 years.
So, yeah, so with that, to have a golfer who, you know, travels the world, remember, golf, unlike the NBA, NFL, and, you know, the sports that are predominantly U.S. that don't travel, think about it. You have the Ryder Cup, which is in England. You have, and these golfers come from around the world. Remember,
golf is the only true sport. Masters and all that. I know U.S. Open.
Right.
I understand. Yeah.
And just like soccer, you know, those are the only two sports that travel around the world. So, to go on that stage and have the world see that you are the best, I can't understand it. And in all actuality, I can see what. I forget who you said that, but I can see where the player is coming, and I can see why he said that, because the endorsements that you get behind that and the fact that you're able to, after that, go live a normal life. NBA players can't live normal lives once they leave the NBA, and I'm just keeping it real. I don't care how much money they made or how broke they get. They never are able to live a normal life. U.S. Olympians are able to live a normal life once they leave the Olympics. They might go through their five or 10 years of endorsements, but their investments are so much different. Look at Gabby Douglas. Her life has forever changed. But she's going to be, you know, she's not in the spotlight on a day-to-day basis. You're not hearing about, oh, Gabby Douglas did this, Gabby. Even when she does something stupid, you don't hear about it because her life is not the full spotlight. The only reason why Michael Phelps was in the spotlight was because he's been swimming since he was 15. You know, so he's been through four Olympics and all of this, so he's done his time. But the majority of Olympic athletes, they get their recognition, they get their endorsements, they make their money from their endorsements, and they're able to still have a great deal of money but do it privately versus always being the public eye. And plus that feeling to say, hey, I am the best in the world. You know, how you can say that? You might be the best in the U.S., but can you honestly say you're the best in the world? You know, these golfers get to go back and say, yo, I'm number one in the world. You know, yeah, you might win the Ryder Cup, you might win the Masters, you know, but that gold, it's that feeling, you know, for anybody who's ever competed on a college or high school level, that winning of saying I am the best at this, it can't always replace that money. It's nice to have the money. But your life is forever changed. Also, as an NBA player, you don't have a private life. And I will give you an example of NBA players who don't have private lives, even after the fact. One very well-known NBA player, loudest mouth in the world, Charles Barkley. Even if he wasn't on TV, you're going to know him because people have seen him for years. You know, Walter Payton, you know, was never able to live a private, a normal life. Even when he got diagnosed with cancer and everything, his life was never normal. You know, and I can understand that, you know, the money is nice, but, you know, a gold medal and to go back home and lay in your bed and be normal is nice. And that's where I think the difference comes in. Like I said, I can understand your point, but I can also understand the point of that gold medal being more important because you know,
I'm just saying, look, you make valid points. I'm not saying you're completely wrong or whatever. If he were to say, DeAndre Jordan, look, a gold medal to me is just as important as winning an NBA title, I would have no problem with it. None. That, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not dissing the Olympic gold. I'm not trying to say that.
I'm just saying, when you know, when you're not an Olympic athlete and you basically you be paid for NBA basketball, and I know the NBA has something to do with the Olympics. I'm not saying that. They got their Team USA. That's why they have the special coaches from not only the NBA but in college. Because you got,
they're looking at pulling them out of. They're also looking at pulling them out of the NBA because they proved their point. You know, they thought they were for so long at a disadvantage because other countries were sending their full teams, and the U.S. But if the U.S. would go back to sending their amateur athletes like they did, it would be a fair competition. Because when you look at it, you only have now. I'm going to give the example of a few people in the Olympics who are professionals, and who are allowed to continue to be in the Olympics even though they're a professional. Allison, the young lady I was telling you about, track and field. She's 31 years old, so you know she's not an amateur. She gets, this is what her living is track and field. Mm-hmm. She's 31 years old.
Yeah, that's her. That's it. Michael, that's all she has. Mm-hmm. True.
Michael Phelps. That is his career. He's 30 years old, even though he's retiring from it, but he has other investments. But a prime example of pro athletes that cannot be in the Olympics, Clarissa Shields. If she goes pro for boxing, she cannot box in the Olympics. Pro boxers are not allowed to box in the Olympics. They have to be truly amateurs.
Yep.
You know,
that's funny,
I think people...
I'm sorry. And that's how usually back in the day with certain boxers, especially in the heavyweight and more and the middleweight too, they came up from the Olympics to become pro boxers, like Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali in heavyweight and George Foreman, you know, and whoever I forgot all these other great boxers that actually came from the Olympics.
Roberto Durante.
Well, Durante?
He's a boxer. Yeah.
Durante?
He was in the Olympics. You know I can mess up some names in a heartbeat.
Like Jimmy Durante's relative?
Listen, you know who I'm talking about.
By the way, real quickly, I just because you opened that door a little bit because you said Roberto Durant, who the hell, I mean, I'm trying to give a benefit of doubt, homeboy playing Sugar Ray Leonard in the movie. You know what I'm talking about. Homeboy.
Actually, I don't.
You know, he has a certain song that I like that you play on our other show. What's his name? I can't believe the guy's name. I can't say the name of the song.
Usher? I know Usher.
Yeah.
I know I'm not.
Usher? Usher is playing Sugar Ray Leonard. I kid you not.
Usher is also, you know what, but I can see that because Usher is an actor, you know.
Yeah.
Of musicians that actually does both.
I got to check this out. I'm curious. I'm like, okay, because I love Sugar Ray Leonard when I was a kid. I just loved his antics, like what he would do. But he was influenced by Muhammad Ali. He said that plenty of times. But I just remember how he would do the wind-up punch. And all that stuff, and he would do like all these things, which nowadays, forget about it. People would be like, "Oh my God," they would destroy him now. Like that, I mean, then they did, but you can imagine now. Oh my God!
Look at how a lot of these guys came up. You know,
the Hitman. Yes, the Hitman who won like what every title in every weight class. He's like one of the only ones to do that.
Pretty much, he was able to do it.
Hagler beat him up.
But you know what? The Hitman put some stuff out there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand, you know. So, let's see. There's no hockey to talk about. Watching the building? Oh, I do have to ask you a question. Because I know that you looked at, you know, back in the spring, you looked at the live feed from the Red Wings stadium being built.
No, I haven't done it since we did it live on the air months ago, back in, like you said, springtime, like in April, March or April, around that time.
They did something real cool a few weeks ago.
Okay, go ahead.
The final beam. For anybody who don't know how buildings go up, and they do, it's not just on buildings like this if you look in your home, somewhere in your home on the original beam, when the final beam goes up, there's normally a signature or something on it. That's just the people who help put their hard work into it, that's them putting their mark on it. And this is the foundation of the house. We're not talking about where we're taking stuff in and out, you know, knocking down. I'm talking about the actual foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're not talking about the inside of the house. We're not talking about, you know, building up the rooms. We're talking, we're talking about the true foundation.
With a sledgehammer and stuff.
You know, so what they did, the final steel beam, all of the workers that worked on that signed it, and they put it up there with a Christmas tree. And the final beam is up there. And if you look at it, progress is really coming on really great, you know. And a lot
the
of times.
Again? Is the website again?
I don't know. You found
you
it
forgot.
Before.
Yeah, but you
found
it.
You found it before. I didn't tell it. No, I didn't.
You
looked it up
and
told
me about
it.
Oh, okay. Well,
no, I told you there was a lot, you know.
New Detroit Arena. I'll Google this.
It's the Little Caesars Arena.
No. Oh, okay, whatever. I don't mean like that. when is they going to start using it? Is it this year? Are they starting to use it?
No. Actually, the 2017 season.
Okay, the 2017.
It's when they will start.
So next year. Okay. Okay, I'm trying to find that website. Yeah, I wish I remember the name of that website. Okay, you said it was Little Caesars Arena, you said?
Yes.
A Little Caesars, Pika Pika. They're going to play hockey. And hopefully basketball. And possibly Pistons, maybe. Yes or no?
You know, we can hope.
It's not, I'm not saying.
We can hope.
It's going to happen.
Like I said, we can hope. You know, that is our biggest hope.
Okay. Yeah.
That,
Okay, here we go. This is this the official site of the District Detroit? Is that where I go?
I'm pretty sure.
Let me see. Let me look at
DistrictDetroit.com, I think, has the 24 live streaming.
Okay, yeah, that's why I clicked on it. Okay.
And then you click at the top the live webcam.
Okay, yeah, live webcam. Hopefully, I don't see no murders going on.
They've been doing pretty good. They ain't had none lately. Not down
good,
there.
Good. That's good to know. Okay, so this is live. Oh wow, they still got a long way to go. I'm thinking it's almost finished.
No, that's pretty. No, look at it. But look at it. The roof is going up. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
You know. When you figure that the foundation is done, do you know how quick the rest of that is going to go?
Mm.
It's got another year to go, but I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
Like this. And remember, that roof is going to be, I think that roof is going to be retractable, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
I think. Don't quote me. Don't quote me on that one.
So why would they make it retractable? Unless they
Because
doing...
they're going to try... Do other
stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do other stuff.
Okay, I'm seeing the live
version
right now. Okay. There goes a car. Did it just rain or something? Is that the long ago? Did it just rain or something?
Yesterday, but we were supposed to get some.
Okay, because it looks like there's water beads on the lens. Just a little bit. It looks like it. That, you know, if you were to look at it right now, you would see what I'm talking about. I mean, it's only like a couple. It's not like the whole screen.
I'm trying to because what I've got is today at 12.
82 degrees. Okay. 82 degrees in Detroit. About the same here.
Okay, here we go. Now, this
like
is
you see what I'm saying?
See, mine
like,
only
like,
gives me. Mine gives them life. Building it. See. Because all
first
I got is one damn picture. Okay, I see what you're saying. I didn't push live.
Panorama view, you know, and then you press the live, and then you get to see live, the live feed.
Now I see it.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? The sun is reflecting on the left side, and it looks like.
Off the camera. No, that's a spider web. That's They got a friend.
Oh, that's what. Oh, that's a spider web. Okay.
If you look, if you look, you can see like the thin line.
Yeah.
A spider probably done made its perch on the camera.
That makes a sense. That makes a little more sense now. Yeah. Because you can see. Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, it looks. I knew I saw something. I knew I see something that looked out of place.
It's like a spider web, but no. When you look at that, I mean, that is a whole considering. When they started that, come on now, and then you see the building, the parking garage that they done built,
that stuff is new
next to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how it looked when we first saw this. Was it of like an empty, I don't remember it being empty lot, though. I remember at least something was there, like a little something, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't like it is now.
No, I'm just saying. It wasn't like they were just doing a foundation. There was nothing there. They were just starting it out, right?
In May, it was like April or May. If you go on the archive, you can look at the...
Yeah, archive. That's... I see what you're saying. Let's see. I'm just curious.
As they say, as we're sitting here saying, let's look at other things.
You think there's some
wait a minute. Like, they got August
21st.
I bet it is. You've got somebody, you know, that does.
Okay.
Because, like, I just went back to August 21st, 2015, and it was, like, an empty nothing.
Okay.
And then
I just
December
went back to March
15th, 14th.
And there was something. There was a little something. March 15th, 2016, Tuesday on 5:57 p.m. It was, like, there's two layers.
Wow, you got the snow on March 3rd. You got the snow on March 3rd and where it wasn't completed.
Let me see.
March 3rd at 5:57 p.m.
Okay, I got March 2nd. 5:57. That was a Wednesday, March 3rd. Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, it really snowed. Within that 24 hours, it was like, oh, wow, look at that. Okay. Let me see all the way from the beginning. So they started in May last year, I guess.
Yeah, May of 2015. So
that
you
day.
Look.
Oh, wow. Look at that. It was just a open lot. Now, what was there?
Lot.
Was there? Was there anything there that they knocked
they
down?
Bought up a lot of, they bought up a lot of property, but they have been doing a lot of demolition before they started construction. And to be honest, I can't remember exactly what was there because there was a lot of, they had to do a lot of fighting to be able to do this. And part of it, the beige building that's on your left-hand side that you see standing, it looks like it's an abandoned building. Part of the agreement is that they will not tear that building down. That building has to stay up. That's a historic motel. It's called the Eddystone.
Is that the
and
one with
the
flag on it? Is that the one with the flag on it? The
no, that's
like
the Masonic Temple.
Okay.
That's the Masonic Temple. That's farther over. When you get closer to it, there's a actual beige one. The closest beige building to it, it looks like it's abandoned.
Okay, yeah. I think I need to, is it by that crane? Is by that crane,
yeah.
Like the other crane?
They have to, they have to keep that. It cannot be torn down. Even though it's part of their property, the agreement was that, they would not get rid of it.
Oh.
Even though they could have tore it down. I'm sure the rats and roaches are loving that place. Ain't nobody lived in that place in years.
Wow. So I know part of
the... Yeah, you know, just to...
I was going to say, part of the construction is once this is the Little Caesars Arena is built, that's when they're going to start tearing down Joe Louis Arena and they make something out of that. Correct? Like they're going
to
do something with
that
property?
Well, the whole thing is
that
they have not said for sure what they're going to do, but the hopes is that they will tear down Joe Louis because there will not be a need for Joe Louis. And for anybody who doesn't understand the history, before there was Joe Louis Arena, they were actually in Cobo Hall. No, they were at the Olympia, which is farther down Michigan Avenue, and Olympia has been gone for years. And then they got Joe Louis. But Cobo Hall used to have a lot of concerts and everything. You know, this is, people forget that all they had for the longest was Cobo Hall, and that's where everything was, and that's where the auto show is at. Cobo Hall has been transformed into a magnificent location. But Joe Louis is right now a big eyesore next to it, you know, and how do you renovate a place that was made for one purpose. I mean, Joe Louis was built for the Red Wings. That was his purpose in concert.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing, you know, nowadays, and you know it from seeing the transformations where you live at, stadiums and arenas have more glass. It's no longer about going to a concrete structure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no windows at the Joe Louis. Well, they're going to have all kind of windows at the new Red Wing Stadium. If you ever go into Ford Field, and we all know that I go to Ford Field quite a lot, even though you're inside of the dome area, there is, unlike where they were before, everything is housed at Ford Field. When I say everything, as far as management for the Lions, that is their facility. They are at work day in and day out. You know, those people work there, work for the Ford family, you know, whoever is employed by them, that is where their offices are. So there's always, you would think that, you know how some stadiums in the past, there's no games, there was no workers. There's always work at Ford Field. I mean, that's why I'm able to go get my jerseys and stuff. Any day of the week, I can go down to Ford Field and buy stuff. That is the beauty of these new stadiums. They are making them more fan-friendly, even when they're not open.
That's right.
Because they want this. And Joe Louis was not fan-friendly. I couldn't go down to Joe Louis and buy nothing if there wasn't a game. I can go down. Now, I can go to Comerica Park the same way and buy my Tigers gear directly from there, from their pro shop. You know, so the new Joe Louis is going to be accessible. I mean, the Little Caesars Arena is going to be accessible just like Fort Field and Comerica Park is, you know.
Okay.
They say where the Pistons is that it's accessible, but this is the problem I have with that. And I say this, and a lot of people will agree, do you want to have to drive an hour to a place that has nothing around it to go get your gear? Or would you rather have something like when there's not a game? Or would you rather to have something like Comerica Park and Ford Field where, I mean, literally, I have gotten off my day job, drove over there, parked, went about my Lion stuff, came back out, and left. You know, that's how accessible it is. I've actually gone over there during my lunch. We have a thing here called a people mover. And you pay like $1 to wear, but I've called the people mover over to purchase my stuff. This is the beauty of these new stadiums and arenas, that they are fan accessible, and the Pistons are going to have to get into it. If you want your fan base back, you're going to have to come to where we can come, because two-thirds of my Lions gear, especially, wait a minute, all of my unique Lions gear I have gotten from Ford Field.
Okay.
I got all my, that's the only place you could get the Thanksgiving Day stuff is at Ford Field.
Mm-hmm.
When they have these special games, you can only get that at Ford Field. Now, if the Pistons were down here, I would get some Pistons stuff. Because, well, I'm not driving out where the Pistons are to get nothing.
Exactly.
You know, I could go get my Tiger stuff. You know, they can't. I can't get one single Tiger that I could just stay on. You know, I've got my Lion, even though he's retired. But I take that back, because I like Mickey. You know, Mickey is my Tiger. You know, when they say who is your Tiger, Mickey is my Tiger.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day. So these are the things that we look at. And if I want to go get me a Mickey jersey, guess what? I'm going to go get me one just, you know, right from Comerica Park.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got a Piston. And even if I had a Piston, I wasn't driving all the way out there to get it.
Exactly. By the way, I did a little research.
Just send you Pistons, no. Just send you Pistons, no. If y'all move back to the city, y'all will make more money. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something. No, I'm going to tell you something. Us black people will go buy stuff. We ain't got money to pay rent. We ain't got money to put gas in our car. But we would go spend money on a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm being a little stereotypical, facetious, but why not?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, let me go spend $200 on a jersey and I can't pay my rent.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got bus fare.
What priority?
My kids ain't got shoes on their feet. I couldn't afford to buy the no-name laundry detergent from the dollar store because I bought this $200 jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I know that y'all goal is not to make people poor. That I'm not saying make people poor. I'm just letting you know that
mm-hmm.
black people go buy a jersey. They might put
yeah.
wait a minute. You could get rid. And think about it. If you put your stadium down here, let's support be on crack because even crack addicts want to go to Lions. Pistons games. Shit,
yeah,
y'all
yeah.
might actually. You know, y'all. You know, you'll get some crack addicts that give up their crack because see, a Pistons game is more important than a crack pipe.
They're the ones that can be saved. I don't know if they've passed that point, then they don't care about a basketball game. They want the crack.
Right, but I'm saying, but I'm saying, your newbie, your newbie crack addict.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
thing got completely strung out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's yeah. Let's make that clear. By the way, I did a little research, and your boy found an article from. Almost 2 years ago, October 16, 2014, this is from CBS Sports, and the title of it says, Detroit's Joe Louis Arena is set to be demolished in 2017. And it says right here, by the 2017-18 NHL season, Detroit Red Wings expect to be playing in a new downtown arena. It is around that time that the building there that they called home since 1979 will be demolished. The city of Detroit announced a settlement with financial guarantee service insurance, excuse me, the city's largest holdout creditor, that it will include the Joe and its ultimate demise. Downtown's Detroit West Riverfront will be transformed with a new hotel, residential, and retail complex on the site of Joe Louis Arena and its parking garage under the deal the city and its largest holdout creditor announced this morning. Okay, the creditor, bondholder, would agree to redevelop the 8.6 acres by 2020. With a new hotel that would serve a combo center alongside new retail condos, a redevelopment that officials say could open up the West Riverfront to even more development in coming years. The deal announced before U.S. bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes this morning means Detroit's last big creditor now has agreed to sign on to the Detroit's plan to exit bankruptcy, and that means the city is mere steps away from exiting its 15-month Chapter 9 bankruptcy. And yeah, there's more stuff.
And
so,
anybody who don't know, yeah. Detroit is no longer in bankruptcy. The reorganization I'm really happy with, and, you know, even though I don't live in the city no more,
no.
I work in the city, and the
mm-hmm.
transformation is actually beautiful. You know, what I don't like,
okay.
I can't say it. I have to do it on a different show. And I'm not going to say what I don't like, but, you know, I want people to get a little bit. Just because you live in the city, you can still get shot, baby. Just because you live downtown,
oh.
I'm just saying. People have gotten a little brave. You
okay,
know,
people have just gotten a little brave.
Stupid.
Okay, well, don't sleep, okay? You stupid, those people who think that otherwise, okay?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just saying.
Hipsters, I'm telling you.
Like
right,
I said,
I won't call out any particular people.
I will just say don't get extremely comfortable.
But I'm on the right ballpark, I think.
Yeah, and the vagrants are still out there.
but
you know, we done went 35 minutes over, but I know what, this has been a really good show, but you know what?
Yes, it has.
I won't be talking about the Olympics next week. You know, the Olympics are over this week, so I'm going to have to find something else to talk about. You know, they only go for 2 weeks every 4 years.
Yeah, I know.
You know, unless I get into the Winter Olympics. But you know what? I'm trying to figure out if I can get into the Winter Olympics. I take that back. You know what I like about the Winter Olympics? the ice skating.
Yeah, you like, I can see you liking that.
I wish Johnny Will was still ice skating because I had fell in love with him. I liked him anyway, but I love him even more because he's a commentator for NBC for the Olympics. And, you know, there are some gay men that you just got to love because they make you love them. I mean, he's fun, his shoes, his outfits, you know, and he's not that, oh, girl, please, you know, but his clothes, oh, Lord, all I can say is, Johnny Ware, you can come be my stylist anytime you want. I'm going to keep it real. His style is so flamboyant that you have to love it.
Gotcha.
And it's not that Little Richard style, you know. It's not that shut up.
Yeah.
I mean,
shut up.
Yeah. It's not that. His style, I can't describe it. All I can say is that I like his style, though, you know.
Unique.
I did not think that I would be into him like that, but I think because he takes what he does and he doesn't flaunt it and say, you've got to deal with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes it fun. And, I mean, but this man is intelligent. I mean, he's making a living off of being flamboyant.
Good for him.
I think people forget that he was an Olympic gold medalist ice skater. True.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think they forget that that's where he came from.
Mm-hmm. You
know,
some character
he was flamboyant.
I think
that they thought, oh, where'd they get him from, you know, and I think people forget that he was a flamboyant ice skater, you know, but because he has a beautiful personality, and I think that's why, and him and Tara Lipinski, for those of y'all who don't know who she is, you know, she's a former Olympian also, and they do everything together. They do, for whatever reason, her and her crazy style and him and his crazy style work good together. Because they do the Kentucky Derby. If it's going on, they're the ones that are out there. And I just want to give a big shout out to them because I love both their styles. I really, you know, like I said, Johnny Will, if you ever want to come style me, baby, you know, I'm open for it because I love his style. You know, like I said, it's flamboyant but not flamboyant. It doesn't make you turn on the street and say, you know, you're like, do he have that on? But then you're just saying, as a woman, I'm not going to say, men would say this, but it's only like, them some bad shoes. I need to ask him where he got them from. but they're also manly. That's the funny part. He's the only man I know that can wear heels and make them look good. Because I truly believe that these shoes are made for him. I do, you know, because it's not the man trying to force his foot into a woman's pump or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you see some men who have on like a woman's sandal or something, and you just know it don't look right. His shoes look right. I'm telling you, they got to be made for him.
Gotcha.
I love his style, you know, just gotta say that. So I know they like Johnny Ware. Yeah. Because a lot of people forget that he was an Olympian, you know, I'm trying to look for when they get a lot of medals. What do they say, you know? But he won a lot of medals.
Don't they say multi-Olympic medal winner?
Something like that, but they say something just to watch. I'll remember later.
Or depending how many gold medals, you know, they say 2-time, 3-time gold medalists.
It's
know,
like
blah,
something
blah, blah, blah.
Ordained or something, you know, but they'll talk about, you know, how a person is. But either way, you know, he, you know, it's not just his style. It's, you know, his stance and everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I like his personality, you know. I think he has a great personality, and I wish him all the best, you know. I don't see him going nowhere. I mean, he actually makes watching some of these sporting events more interesting than they are because of his take on it.
Gotcha.
But we will get kicked out, for those of y'all who don't know. So we've gone over this. This is probably for me to make up for not talking to y'all last night, you know, for the Triple B show, which will, you know, we're going to go on hiatus until we get a new co-host.
Yeah,
I think
I'm going
to just do replace or something.
I'm trying. So I'm trying.
Because
I'm
trying. After last night, it's not fair to the guys, you know, who listen to the show. It's not.
Gotcha.
They got all music left. They got 30 minutes of music. I couldn't even really fuss about too much stuff because it just wasn't.
Wow.
It wasn't there.
I hear you. If you don't feel it, then, you know. Yeah. I hear you.
But it's not going to go away forever. Let's get that to you,
No. Trust me. I'm working on it, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me. I'm really working. I'm really trying.
But with that, I want everybody. Well, that's what you gotta sign us out.
Yes, I will sign.
I
you're not.
This
the...
is not my show.
I mean,
I'm talking about your. I don't mean sign out that way. I mean, you know.
Yes, sign out. You know, do the radio Radio 101 type deal. I know that that's radio talk, ladies and gentlemen. Sign us out. Yes. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening to another exciting edition of SSC Sports here on V's After Dark Radio. Tune in next Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when we will have another chit-chat with sports, as we always do, here on V's After Dark Radio, SSC Sports, 6 p.m. every Thursday, exclusively here on V's After Dark Radio. Tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as Ms. V said, you know what time it is. It's that other show, the flagship show of V's After Dark Radio. Which, you know the title by now. We just can't say it here, but you know about that. But, you know, just
We this is family friendly, so we don't cuss on this show. We want to make sure your children can listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so I'm being very respectful. And with that being said, thank you all. We appreciate you. We love you all for listening. And just tune in tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will be talking. We're talking very adult tomorrow night, as always, on Friday night. So with that being said, have a good night. Hello, Ms. V says that. So with that being said, have a good evening, everybody. Take it easy. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, good night, everybody. And that includes Ms. V. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Adios.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.